I'd like you to turn to the chapter we've been reading, the book of Ezra, chapter 8. For some in the congregation, the 8th chapter of Ezra may be an out-of-the-way place in the Bible. But you know, God can meet with us in out-of-the-way places. There isn't a place on the earth that you can go to, but the Lord can meet you there. There are some places it's through where the Lord's more likely to meet you. But nevertheless, it is true. We can never really get away from God. The Lord can meet you too in out-of-the-way places in the Bible. We're looking now at Ezra chapter 8. Fixing our attention on verses 26 and 27. Now, I even weighed unto their hands 650 talents of silver, and silver vessels 100 talents, and of gold 100 talents. Also 20 basins of gold of 1,000 drams, and 2 vessels of fine copper, precious as gold. Without doubt, when you come to verses 26 and 27 of this chapter, you encounter a piece of historical detail that could be passed over very quickly. I suppose I have to admit that what you read in verse 26 and what you read in verse 27 would appear now to be trivial. But there's always more in God's Word than what meets the eye. You might do well to bear in mind that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, in the Bible by accident. And even should we account that Ezra chapter 8 is an out-of-the-way place in the Bible, not a chapter very often read. Perhaps at that, not a chapter even comprehended by many of God's people. Yet it must be said, in the details that are recorded there, even if they appear to be trivial nowadays, God has a purpose in mind in telling us, just as He does here, exactly what Ezra had to do way back in those times so long ago. Ezra lived in the days of the prophets Haggai and Zechariah. And if you wanted historical background on those prophecies, and I'm sure sometime you'll read the book of Haggai and the book of Zechariah, you may little consider that these prophecies in the Scriptures have a historical counterpart. There is information in your Bible about those days when Haggai and Zechariah ministered. If you go back just momentarily to Ezra chapter 5 and verse 1. The significant statement occurs there. Then the prophets Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. You will recognize then that the book of Ezra has this significance. It pertains to the time when Haggai ministered for God. The book of Ezra describes the background to the prophecy of Zechariah. And you may understand if you look at the previous verse, which happens to be the last verse of chapter 4 in the book of Ezra, that Ezra had a great deal of help to gain from Haggai and Zechariah, because at the occasion when they ministered, the work of God had come to an absolute standstill. You can see verse 24. I haven't time now to enlarge on this element of history, but let it just be understood that the work of building the house of God in Jerusalem had been so opposed, the devil was fighting tooth and nail to bring the work of God to a standstill. And he succeeded. Verse 24, chapter 4 reads, "Then ceased the work of the house of God which is at Jerusalem." The work of God was at a standstill. But chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Then the prophets Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them." It was the work of Haggai and the work of Zechariah to stir up the hearts of the saints, to impel them into the work again, to encourage them in the name of the Lord. But chapter 8 brings us to another detail in the experience of the time. God's people, many of them, were still in exile in faraway Babylon. The time had come for them to return to Jerusalem. There would be the long, dangerous journey which lay between Babylon and the country round about, and Jerusalem itself. And that long, dangerous journey would take 4 months. When you think of traveling day in and day out, not only for a week, but for 4 months, then you can consider what a hazardous and difficult journey it really was. Besides, these people had baggage to carry. They had all sorts of personal belongings which they meant to take with them all the way from Babylon and its environs to the sacred mount in Jerusalem. But Ezra himself had a special interest. He had an interest in the safe conveyance of these sacred vessels. The vessels were to be carried all the way from the river at Babylon to the mount of the Lord in Jerusalem. These vessels, as you can see, by looking at verse 26 and 27, these vessels are subject to the closest scrutiny. Ezra makes a careful inventory of all that is to be taken from Babylon to Jerusalem. He surveys what every man is carrying. Every man was taking something, I think, for the house of God. There's so much stuff to be taken. And there are vessels of silver, vessels of gold. For a long journey, for a dangerous journey, when the enemy will lie in wait, by the way, Ezra knows what now he is about to undertake. And consequently, he will make account of every piece, every item that's going to be taken. He will weigh it. Now, that's a striking thing. If you can picture a vessel of gold, perhaps there's an ornamental base to it. The base could be removed, melted down, and the vessel still be left. But Ezra reckons not only to count the items and describe them, for the chapter says they were written in the book, every one of them, but he weighed them. And the thought is that eventually, when everyone would arrive at Jerusalem, the book would be opened. And these vessels would be examined one by one and counted. Oh, there's the vase. There's the basin. Yes, it corresponds exactly, made of gold and ornamented in this fashion. And the weight of it, let's weigh it now. Yes, it weighs exactly as it did on the day we left Babylon, way back there in the past. Now, there's a message in this. Do you see that every soul traveling from Babylon to Jerusalem is on a pilgrimage? And every soul, or almost everyone, has something for the house of God to take with them. The message is that everyone must make an account when they get there. And those items that they carry, they're all noted before they leave. It's as if God was putting certain things into their hands. As if the Lord was saying, "Now I'm entrusting these things to your care. When you're starting off, you'll take them with you. You're to carry them every day. You're to treasure them. You're to watch over them.
and take them all the way with you. Take them on to the house of God. Take them to the Holy Mount. Take them, everyone, to Jerusalem. Don't lose anything. Because when you get there, the books are going to be opened. Every item will be accounted for, mentioned by name. And these vessels must be produced and they have to be weighed. And every detail when we get there will have to correspond exactly to the detail in the records that existed when you left. Now there's a message there for the Christian. Every child of God is a traveler to the great eternity. The Lord Himself has entrusted precious things to your care. And He requires you all the while you're engaged in this journey, however long the way. He requires you to care for these things. These precious things that He Himself has given to you. And the Scripture in the foreshadowing of history reminds us of that time when at the end of the day, when we reach the New Jerusalem, the books will be opened. All of us will find that our names are called. The record will be opened. Everything will be as it is written in the book. And these precious things which the Lord has given us all will be counted. They will be weighed to see if what we had when we left the starting point, leaving the city of destruction, bound for the celestial city, these vessels will be weighed, every one of them at the end of the day, to see if on getting there we haven't lost anything. In the long days of travel, and in the dangerous times of battle, there's that vessel of gold you have. Do you know the Lord gave you it? It's going to be weighed in the great day to see if it's smaller, if it's lighter. Someone like Achan could decide to pare off some of the ornamentation. And if you could imagine some of these exquisite vessels with, unbelievable ornamentation to them. Of course, little items could be filed off and taken away. And the vessel of gold, so weighty in itself, on being weighed, will be found to be lighter than it was at the start. The Lord is saying to you and to me, when you're making that journey, leaving behind you the city of destruction, you're going to the celestial city, make sure when every name is called and every vessel is counted, that what you have isn't found to be weighed in the balances and found wanting. Let's examine it more carefully. These saints of God were to give such attention to the vessels as to indicate their value. You can see the language in verse 26, I even weighed under their hand 650 talents of silver, silver vessels and 100 talents, and of gold and 100 talents. He has the detail recorded in the pages in front of him. Also, 20 basins of gold of 1,000 drams, and 2 vessels of fine copper, precious as gold. No one can read these words without saying the vessels are of some worth. Last Lord's Day I spoke about the word vessel itself, saying then that the vessel in the Bible is a picture of the Christian's life. Now the Word of God says, if I can quote from some of the passages, the Word of God says, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. That's Revelation 3:11. Hold that fast. There is the Lord giving you something. He's giving you a precious faith. He is giving you an experience with Himself. He is giving to you a testimony, and the Lord is saying, hold that fast. Don't let it go. Don't throw it away. Hold that fast. Could it be the Lord speaking about the Bible? He has given you His precious Word. He has put the book in your hand, and He says, hold on to it. Hold that fast, which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Then there is that passage in 2 Timothy 1 and 13. Hold fast the form of sound words. Well, may I make reference to the Bible, because I do believe that the passage referred to, 2 Timothy 1 and 13, does relate to the Word of God. Hold fast to the form of sound words. We shouldn't think to change the Bible. These modern versions that come out are not faithful reproductions of the old text. They contain a number of changes, and some of these changes are decidedly dangerous. This is why we like the old book. There's only, if we talk about versions for a second or two, just keep this in mind. Out of all the versions that you can get, whatever the points of attraction a salesperson will want to mention, whatever the points of attraction about some other version, just you remember this. There is only one version which is called the authorized version of the Scriptures. And when you're making a purchase, you would be well advised to take the authorized version instead of any other. But let's notice this. Hold fast the form of sound words. Then there's another verse, 2 John, the second epistle of John, verse 8. And it says this, that we are to look to those things that we have wrought. We're to look to them. In other words, we're to look after those things that we have wrought. We're not to lose what God has given us. We're to hold on to these things. And it just brings to mind the sequence here as we read about Ezra loading up these people before they start off on the journey. There's a basin of gold. We want you to take that to Jerusalem. That's for the house of God. Don't lose that. I have counted it. I have written it down in the book that you've got it. And I know the weight of it. And you have it. Look after it. You can see from the circumstances, every vessel is of value. Every vessel matters. When I think of the soul, when I think of your life, I have to say to you, your life is of immense value. The Lord has given you your life. Young person, don't imagine for a second that that life is given to you to be yours completely, so that you have no accountability for it. No accountability at all to God. Do you think that? Are you living as if that were so? Recognize this. Your life is precious. Your life is precious to God. And He has given you these sacred commodities that you may look after what He has given you. And all the way along the journey, take these things on to glory with you. And don't lose a single one. Don't lose your soul. Don't lose your time. Your time is precious. Don't waste your time. Don't lose what God has given to you. But remember, as He has entrusted these precious commodities to your care, on that day when you arrive and the books are opened, you'll have to give account. If you look again, you will see that these vessels are described in a particular way. Was it in verse 28? Yes. And the words just seem to have application spiritually to the Christian now in his pilgrimage. Verse 28 says, ye are holy unto the Lord, and the vessels are holy also, and the silver and the gold are a freewill offering unto the Lord God of your fathers. You will observe that the vessels are holy. You will see that the vessels are precious. The word precious occurs in verse 27. And you will see that these vessels belong to God, because verse 28 says, the silver and the gold are a freewill offering unto the Lord God of your fathers. It's the Lord's property. What a picture of the Christian's life. And I can say to that vessel, which is your body, I can say in reference to that vessel, it's holy. I can say in reference to that vessel, it's precious. I can say in reference to that vessel, it belongs to the Lord. These pilgrims, bound for Zion, were instructed that every vessel they carried of silver and gold, which Ezra had entrusted them, every vessel was holy. Every vessel belonged to the Lord. And every vessel was precious. They had to guard it with their lives. There's a message in that. Of all the things God has given you, they're precious. They're holy. They belong to Him. They're loaned to you. Loaned to you for a little time. Notice again how the care for these vessels was such that they had to pray about it. And in verses 21 and 23, reference is made to prayer. Then I proclaimed a fast, verse 21 reads, at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of Him. What would they pray for? Oh, somebody would be likely to say that. What would they pray for, and why would they pray? They had a long way to go, men and women. 4 months of journeying, day by day, through enemy terrain. The enemy was lying in wait for them. They had these precious vessels. The vessels are counted and weighed. The vessels are written in the book. They are required to take them to Jerusalem and give them there in that day when things are presented to God. They have to present these at the end of the journey. But before they left, they prayed. They cried to God about it. And I would say to you today, make your life step by step a matter of prayer. We fasted there by the river, the faithful record says. We fasted there, and we sought of God a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. They included the children. When they prayed, they were saying, Lord, journey with us. Take us all away, every day. Take us safely to Jerusalem. Bring us to the house of God. There was prayer. And they were praying, Lord, show us the right way. Show us the right way through the wilderness. The enemy is lying in wait for us. We will be a prey to the enemy. We'll perish at the hands of the enemy. Lord, show us the right way through the wilderness. I emphasized in the general reading the words in verse 23. We fasted and besought our God for this. And I said then, here's the best part. He was entreated of us. They were asking for divine protection. They were seeking God's guidance. And best of all, they had the assurance before they got up from their knees that the Lord had been entreated of them. They knew that God had answered prayer. These vessels are precious. They're counted every one. The Lord knows exactly what He has given. And it's all down in the book. And He asks you to take these things safely on to Zion, the beautiful city of God. And such is the hazard of the journey. You must pray, as Israel does here. We fasted and besought our God for this, because these vessels are holy. Because these vessels are precious. Because these vessels, listen, these vessels, every one of them, belongs to God. Then the third place I want you to see, if you look at verse 29, they were commanded to keep a watch. One thing leads on to the other. We were saying the vessels were precious, and therefore they were all counted. They were itemized. Ezra even weighed them. We sometimes say the Jew is a bit miserable and he knows how to look after the gold and the silver. Well, he does. That's true. And Ezra shows you the good example how when he took these vessels of gold, he actually weighed them.
He's not a bit slow. Well, then, now that the vessels are entrusted to God's people, they must see their value. They're all read and itemized and written up in the book. That makes them valuable. Then they would pray about them. Now they must watch. For verse 29 says, and this is the word of Ezra, "Watch ye and keep them, until ye weigh them before the chief of the priests and Levites and the chief of the fowlers of Jerusalem." In other words, to shorten verse 29, the sense is, now you look after these things until you take them home to God. You watch them, one by one. Watch every item God has given you, until the day you arrive in the courts of the Lord's house in the New Jerusalem. That's the theme of the passage. That's the application of the portion. Isn't the Lord saying that to you? You have the day of arrival to think about. You have the day when you present these things in the presence of the Lord. And surely, if you keep a watch, you'll remember that you must watch out every day. Because some of them would have used wagons, and some of them pack animals. And there, look, there at that man, he has a camel, and there's a saddle on the animal. The animal's strong enough, it's headed for the wilderness way. But do you see, the strap is getting worn, or the old cord is beginning to break. And that vessel of gold is weighing down very heavily on the one side. And maybe by tomorrow, if that rope fragments anymore, the vessel will fall and be lost in the sand. Watch it. Inspect your belongings every day. If you're using pack animals or wagons, make sure you don't lose any of these items. You watch it. That's what Ezra said. These things are precious. You'll have to watch them every day. You take an inventory of all you have every day. This is what he was saying. Then you would think about the enemy. The enemy are en route. And certainly Ezra knew that. For he makes reference in verse 31, the latter part of the verse, "He delivered us from the hand of the enemy and of such as lay in wait by the way." Oh, what a picture of Satan. The devil knows your path. And Satan means to waylay you. First of all, the devil means to hinder you from getting to the New Jerusalem. He means to block your way to glory. The devil doesn't mean to allow one soul, not even one, in this congregation to get to glory. If the devil had his way, you'd never reach it. I thank God for a wonderful Savior. I bless His name, that the Lord Jesus not only saves, but He keeps me. And I know, therefore, I will arrive on the day of accounting. I'll get there. The enemy lies in wait, by the way. He means to rob you of all that you have. And he's well able to do it. So there was a watch. I'm sure that Ezra had men ride on ahead, who would look over the sand hills and go down into the valleys and then up to their eyes and seeing over the land for many, many miles. He would keep these men posted on a sharp lookout for the enemy, that they might not lose one man, one child, one sacred vessel. Watch ye. Are you keeping a watch? Are you watching as a Christian? Then notice once more the day of arrival. Oh, verse 30. This was the purpose all the time. They took the weight of the silver and the gold and the vessels to bring them to Jerusalem unto the house of our God. This was the one thing they kept in mind, the day of arrival. Verse 29 is even plainer because, as we said a moment ago, there is Ezra enjoining the people to watch these items and keep them until you weigh them at Jerusalem, until you get there. The journey, men and women, let's see this. The journey is undertaken, even though it's so arduous and so difficult and so trying and so dangerous. Yet this journey is undertaken in the knowledge of a sure arrival at the Father's house. They keep in mind the day of homecoming. Oh, think of it. When they get down to the crossing of the Jordan somewhere in the regions of Jericho, and then they start the long climb
But the last part of the climb, up those long hills toward Jerusalem.
And there's a period the traveler reaches on his way when, climbing up from the depths of the valley where Jericho lies to this day, he can see the spires of home. He can see the hilltop of Jerusalem way yonder in the distance. And he can say, yonder is Jerusalem. There is the house of God. I can see it. Bunyan called this position the Delectable Mountains. And he was having pilgrim see the spires of the celestial city just across the way. And I say to you, have you caught a sight of home? Now the Christian should recognize this. Don't lose the point that these pilgrims on the journey had to keep in mind the day of arrival. They had to be on the lookout for the housetops of Jerusalem. They would keep this in mind every day as they traveled, no matter how painful the feet, how weary the legs, how sore the back, how fearful the heart about the enemy. They had to remember above all, I'm going home. Bless the Lord, I'm going home. Hallelujah. I'm thinking of the day when I get there. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going upwards to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Do you know, child of God, you're going home? Do you know you belong to the Lord? Do you know that you're a pilgrim? Do you know you're only here for a wee while? The Lord has written down your name in the book. Bless His name. And the Lord has written down in the book all the blessings He has bestowed upon you. All those precious things. The Lord's no man's debtor. And He not only gives you these blessings, but He has promised to look after you as well if you'll watch and pray. But you must know, I'm getting nearer home. Every day, getting nearer. We sang that hymn recently. Every day, praise the Lord, I'm getting nearer. And there the hymn writer goes on to speak, I can see the spires of hope. Do you know you're going home? Do you know you belong to the glory? Your name is written there. You're not here forever. Oh, to get every Christian to that place where you know you're a pilgrim. You know you're going to glory. And you can say, yes, my name is there. Praise the Lord. It may be in your case you're not saved. You're not a Christian. Your name's not in that book. Your name's not in the Lamb's book. How sad. You could be a Christian. You could be a Christian right now. You could be a child of God as we speak. Oh, I must tell you this. When they reached Jerusalem, every vessel was red. You see that verse 32 and 33, and we came to Jerusalem and abode there 3 days. Now on the fourth day was the silver and the gold and the vessels red in the house of our God. They opened the book, they called every man's name, and they weighed the vessels. The journey was finished. Just to see that there was no item missing. I find that a touching thing. Let me say this. A father and mother, you'll want to bring the wee ones with you. You wouldn't want them to be missing in that day. There's a vessel of gold. You know the Lord gave you that. Gave you that when you started out at the cross. He needs you to have it with you the day you're alive. Oh, what if the Lord has given you this blessing and that blessing? Or if He has entrusted souls to your care and you've lost them? We don't want, when we get there, to miss a single one. Just let me reflect on my own position as minister in this congregation. I love to preach God's word in this house. I love this congregation. We have a great fellowship here, and the presence of the Lord is especially near and real. Let's listen to this. This is very solemn. It pains my heart to think that some of you might be missing on that day. Am I going to look around my congregation on the great day when we get home and find this one's missing and that one is missing? You're lost. You're out of Christ. I don't want to miss a single one of you.
Those of you who are young, I want to meet you in glory. Those of you who are older, I want you to be there.
We have the devil. He has lined up his agents on all sides, but the Lord can take us right through. And I want you to be there in that great day.